Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 147, recorded on January 5th, 2011. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how's it going?
Good, how you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yep. Hanging out, doing the
Excellent.
Podcast. I just opened
a
Dragon's Milk. Have you had a Dragon's Milk from New Holland?
No, we talked about this before.
Okay, well then we won't continue with that. Jeff Gamet is also here. From the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I'd ask how you were doing, but I was actually listening when Adam was talking.
Oh, that's a first, I think, for you.
Yeah, and it's not so much that I don't listen to Adam, it's just that I really don't listen to anyone.
Yeah, I have that problem, too. It's amazing that, well, I mean, we all record each other's parts individually, and then we kind of go back and actually edit in the responses, so it kind of sounds like a cohesive show, but right now things are just like crazy. And I should mute my phone.
Are you in Japan?
No, what was that? Oh yeah, actually that is I believe it's Tokyo something something.
yeah
I really
those the Tokyo like subway sounds or something like that.
Yeah, it's Tokyo Station. It's from iRing Pro. I'll give them a plug because I've used that ringtone for ever, and I love it. So check out iRing Pro. They're good ringtones. So now that we're here, we should talk about some iOS stuff. Of course, the release of an iPad 3 seems to be on the horizon. As we've seen several components out in the wild, which are kind of pointing toward an imminent release.
Wait, let me get this straight. Apple's working on a new version of a product?
See, now... Be quiet.
What?
You know what else I heard? That they're working on a new iMac and a MacBook and a Mac Mini.
But the fact that the parts, the fact that we're seeing part leaks, there's a legitimate reason to talk about
this.
Oh,
and an iPhone.
I don't know why you guys are even on this show if you're just going to slam me.
I thought that's why we were supposed to be here.
I'm going to get Ken Ray and Bill Palmer to replace you guys.
Excellent.
Freeze up your night. So
good luck with that, Michael.
Yeah, I know. They don't talk to me anymore. So
no, we got iPad 3 parts.
Macatakara says they've obtained several parts, including a power on-off flex cable, a microphone flex cable, and dock connectors that seem to be, they're slightly different, but they also seem to be for an iPad of some sort. So they're not exactly...
Did that or some sort of Samsung tablet?
Well, it has a dock connector. I don't think... I mean, if Samsung certainly. Really just wants to invoke the
Samsung
the
has
wrath,
a 30-pin dock connector.
Do they?
Yes.
That's exactly...
Some kind of dock connector.
That's not
30-pin. Maybe 30 it's not
pin.
Exactly 30 pins.
30-pin is completely copyrighted by Apple or patented by Apple. And if Samsung starts using that, I think they're literally saying, Apple, please sue us. We like it. So I don't think that's the case.
I'm pretty sure they've already been saying that.
They have been saying that, though. Additionally, MacRumors received a tip on Friday that an image has been posted on a Korean forum, which shows a comparison between the current iPad LCD, which has been verified by iFixit. If you look at the teardown of the iPad 2, that this is the image or the display pictured is of the iPad 2 display. Now, the one below it, which they claim is the iPad 3 display, is slightly different. It's the same size, but the ribbon cables on it are different. There are two data cables coming off the iPad 2 display, and there are three coming off of this one that we're suspecting is for the iPad 3, leading us to kind of believe that this might be for a Retina display iPad, which we've been talking about quite a bit. There's been a report from, I believe it was Digitimes, that they also believe that in addition to, I believe it was, it was Peter Misick. I think we talked about it last episode, that he believed that they were going to go with the IGZO, the indium gallium zinc oxide displays from Samsung, which are not IPS, the in-plane switching display technologies that we currently have on the iPad and the iPad 2, which allow us to see the great viewing angles that we have. As we talked about last week, the issue with doing like a Retina display with that kind of technology would require another light bar, and leading some to believe that it would be a slightly thicker iPad.
The slightly thicker part I have a problem with.
Really?
Yeah. That's not Apple's way.
Yeah, I guess it's not. I mean, I honestly would not care that much. I think the thickness difference was like a couple millimeters, right? That they were saying.
Right, but that's still a couple millimeters.
It's true. And I think that while Apple really likes to say that they have one of the thinnest tablets and that it's only getting thinner with every iteration, honestly, the iPad as it is now, that's pretty darn thin. I honestly don't know if I want it any thinner. And I've talked about how the iPhone 4 and the iPhone 4S, I think it's too thin. I like using it with a case on, because otherwise if I'm doing thumb typing, it hurts a little bit because it's just so thin.
Just doing some hardcore thumb typing.
I do some thumb typing from time to time, yeah. But the IGZO displays, they say they're better from a number of standpoints. Lower cost of manufacturing, 30% or 30 times higher electron mobility, which, what does that mean?
They're faster. This is what I had read. I think that's what that means.
That's kind of what I thought too.
It's like a faster refresh rate, I'm assuming, or
which
faster draw to the screen. So that would mean better graphics performance for especially like high-end game kind of stuff.
Yeah, refresh. So the better electron mobility than the amorphous silicon that we're used to in LCDs. Increased aperture ratio for improved light transmittance, which is always good. Higher resolution in terms of pixels per inch, of course. Significant cost reductions.
Did you say it doesn't require dual backlighting?
Correct.
Potentially.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Because of the improved light transmittance, because of the increased aperture. So all around, the Samsung technology seems like it would be much better than the IPS. The only concern I have is that,
you know, Samsung.
Well, I guess there's the Samsung angle too, but they're making a lot of displays for Apple.
Yes.
Right now. And I think that, yeah, while there are some, you could say differences between Apple and Samsung, I think they still benefit mutually from that relationship in terms of the displays. And I think that it's not, they're not talking about partnering with Samsung for the rumored TV, are they? I think they're talking about Sharp, right?
No, Samsung's been thrown out there too.
Okay. But I mean, that wouldn't be surprised. But I would say, okay, so overall, it seems like it's much better. The only thing I'm concerned about is the IPS, the lack of the special viewing angles that you get with the IPS technology.
Well, what does this other technology have in terms of a viewing angle?
I haven't seen. That's the only thing. I'm guessing that Apple probably holds viewing angle higher than in higher regard than the pixel density, because that's one of the great things about the iPad is that it can be looked at from many different angles and by multiple people who are at different positions around the screen.
Yeah, I don't know though. I mean, if Apple's been watching usage patterns and things like that, I mean, how I do that occasionally, but probably 75% or to 80% of my usage is just me with the iPad.
Just straight on.
Yeah. So you have to kind of wonder if they wouldn't be willing to make that trade-off, depending upon, you know, if it is a lessened viewing angle, and we don't even know. Maybe it's better.
Yeah.
But if it is a reduced viewing angle, if it's only a small percentage, it may be worth the trade-off for all the other benefits that they would gain. You know, if you're talking about 5 degrees or 10 degrees even, you know, that might not be a huge deal breaker.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Now, is the iPhone 4, that's not IPS technology, is it?
Yes.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. The 4S?
Well, no, the 4.
Is the 4S not?
I'm not sure. But is the 4, not do you know?
Sure.
I don't know.
Ah, now I got to look up. See, this is why I have the internet. I sent you the link for the 30-pin docking cable for the Galaxy Tab, though. Just for the record.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, take a look at that. No, yeah, so I guess Samsung literally is saying, please, Apple, sue us.
You know,
why couldn't they make it 31 pin?
Wasn't it last week when I said I just gave up trying? Because I tried to defend them for like a little while, and then there was that whole case, the smart cut, what they call it, the smart
I think smart case or something, yeah,
thing. And then, you know, and then they do the Korean TV ad this week with the same actress, you know, in it, ripping off all of Apple's creative there too. So it's just like I'm just peeved because it seems like now they didn't even try. They just didn't even try. They're just like, we're going to blatantly copy you in every regard and hope that we get away with it.
Ballsy. And hey, you know, there's something to be said for consistency.
Yeah. Consistently ballsy for seemingly no reason other than to antagonize.
Yeah.
But it's fun to talk about.
It is fun to talk about. I don't think it has worked out all that great for them.
Oh, why would they think this would work out for them? I don't understand. I guess they did pull it is called the smart cover, or the smart case, rather. I guess they pulled that.
Yeah, yeah. It supposedly never made it to the stores, but it's just another, I mean, it seems like every time you turn around, there's another example of where they borrowed heavily. Is that the nice way to say it?
Yeah, borrowed heavily is a good way to put it. Stole would be more accurate.
Well, that's how Steve saw
it.
That's
such a harsh word.
I know. Well, I mean, every car has a steering wheel. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I'm sure a 30-pin dock connector is the only kind of connector you could design.
Well, I believe, okay, so today...
The function defines that it has to be a 30-pin connector.
Right, exactly. Yeah, iLounge actually just today offers some notes sharing information that they've gotten from a source regarding the iPad 3, saying that the body of the next iPad, as they previously reported, is getting just a little bit thicker to accommodate the new parts. Curve radiuses on the body will change only a little to accommodate added thickness, not dramatically. Think iPad 2 Pro, not a redesign. And if for a next-gen iPad notes, okay, what does that say? Ahead of the show, both cameras are getting upgrades.
That's the one that I'm kind of excited about.
Yeah, naturally.
And that, because it was coupled with a rumor that Apple's going to do a touch version of Final Cut, which could be kind of cool, which would mean that you'd want a high-def video camera, at least on the forward-facing camera.
Yeah.
Back-facing camera. I can never remember where you... Is that called the rear-facing? That's the rear-facing camera. Rear-facing camera.
Or camera. And then front-facing camera. You don't even have to say. It's kind of implied with the rear. So the front camera will go HD, and the rear will become 4/4S-like in terms of, I guess, a bigger image sensor.
so even more people can look like douches taking photos with your iPad.
I did that once.
And I did a video.
Well, I mean, if you're doing it, you look back at your whatever you recorded and you see the reactions on your recording of people looking at you rolling their eyes.
Really?
The only time I ever did it was I was at the it was actually when I was waiting for Atlantis to land. I was at the media site and I was kind of just recording just a video to show kind of like what was going on there. And one of my buddies who I met there turned around as I was doing it and looked at me and just gave me this look like, I can't believe you're doing what you're doing right now. And I know I looked like a dork, but what can you do?
Use your iPhone instead.
I was charging my iPhone. I had to get that ready to actually record the thing coming down. I had my reasons. Yep. So, where are we at here?
I was trying to figure out the display technology on the iPhones, but none of the tech specs even mention IPS on 3GS, 4, or 4S. So,
well, here's something interesting. 9to5 Mac has reported that a local Chinese language newspaper reported that the iPad 3 might be launched on February 24th to mark the anniversary of Steve Jobs' birthday.
I knew what you were going to say. Jeff?
Fake.
Really?
Thank you.
Yeah.
What was the release date last year?
March, April. I can't remember. Original one was April. The two was March.
Mac Tracker.
Am I right?
Or Wikipedia.
Mac Tracker's cooler.
Yeah. No.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, I donated to Wikipedia. Don't tell me which one's cooler.
I know why you donated to Wikipedia, and you're going to be so disappointed.
Yeah, you don't think Jimmy's going to follow through?
No, I
you believe that guy?
the release date, yeah, May 28th. Yeah, that's international. April 3rd, that makes sense. And the iPad 2 is March 11th.
So awesome. So I was right on both counts.
Okay. So it's not outside the realm of possibility. Why do you call it fake?
Except that it's not going to happen.
You're thinking just because they don't want to do it?
No, it's too early.
Yep.
And second, Apple doesn't do the sentimental thing like that.
That's true. See, that's the only thing that leads me to believe, because they've never done stuff like that.
Yeah, they've already done their sentimental thing for Steve.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they did a fantastic job. And then they move on.
Yeah.
So, fake.
Okay, fair enough. You want to talk about the January media event? Has Apple actually announced this?
No.
Okay, so All Things D reported that Apple is planning a late January media event in New York City. And supposedly it appeared to have something to do with Apple's publishing efforts.
Which would make sense for a New York announcement.
Mm-hmm, because that's where all the publishing stuff happens, for the most part.
I have an inside line.
Ooh.
From somebody on this.
Yeah? What do you got?
That's the funny thing about it. This is a source through a source. I was talking with Ken Ray for his Day 6 show, and he talked to somebody unnamed in New York who had heard about this about a week before it kind of hit the blogs and stuff like that. And, you know, this is a person connected in the media industry.
Sure.
I believe. And the rumor is that this is educational related.
Yeah. So. Well, that's what we're hearing. So, you know, of course, in the biography, or was it in the biography or did Isaacson just talk about it? There's a quote here on Mac Rumors from Isaacson saying his idea was to hire great textbook writers to create digital versions and make them a feature of the iPad. In addition, he held meetings with major publishers such as Pearson Education about partnering with Apple. And
is Pearson in New York? They are, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's kind of lining up, and this is making sense.
And I think he even mentioned, didn't he mention publicly that he wanted to have textbooks on the iPad? Yes, no?
I don't recall if he did.
Okay. But it always seemed like something that made a whole lot of sense. Clayton Morris says that the event will focus on iTunes U and Apple in education. He learned of the event back in September when it was originally scheduled for late fall in New York, but the event was postponed. It'll be in New York rather than Silicon Valley. It's been in the making for years. He expects at least two large project announcements as they relate to Apple and education. And Steve Jobs was intimately involved with the project before his passing. He gave a hat tip to the textbook side of the project in Isaacson's biography. Okay, so, yeah. And honestly, I haven't been in school for a while. I plan to head back to college, hopefully in the fall. That'd be great. But I know for anybody going to school, books are crazy expensive, and you have to buy a new edition every semester or every year almost. And they totally, you know, it would be great to get that on the iPad because and I believe Ars Technica has talked about, they said, and based on information from their sources, they believe the announcement could likely involve support for the EPUB 3 standard, which enables a wider variety of media and interaction features, which, again, would be a significant reason for Apple to do textbooks, not simply just so you could have them all on an iPad, but you could also have added value to having a digital version of a textbook.
You know, I would like to see digital textbooks take off, not just at the college level, but at you know, like the high school, junior high, elementary school level even. Because, I mean, books are so damn heavy.
Oh, yeah.
So, page 70, should we do a spoiler on the book? The Steve Jobs book?
Okay, spoiler. Sure.
Okay, so spoiler alert.
Did you just do it? You ran a search through the book, Adam?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, baby.
Okay, go for it.
Although that sucked, by the way, just for the record, it took forever.
Did you search for the word book or something?
For textbook, yeah. Okay. So at the end of page, well, probably the page is going to be different depending upon
the font size.
Font size and what device you're looking at. So let's not say that. But in what chapter is this in? I tell that. I don't know. Anyway, there is a section, and he says Jobs, in fact, had his sights set on textbooks as the next business he wanted to transform. He believed it was an $8 billion a year industry ripe for digital destruction.
Yeah.
And he said one of the things was that for security reasons, kids don't have lockers anymore, so they have to haul around all their textbooks all the time now.
Since when do they not have lockers?
The iPad would solve that.
You're talking about college, or are you talking about
I think elementary school or middle school, high school.
Well, let's not talk too much about that because that seems like something I could get upset about. But okay, talk about security. The biggest issue with having maybe every kid has an iPad for their books. Those are expensive. And maybe
the books themselves?
No, the iPads. iPads are expensive, and people like to steal them.
Well, so here's something interesting that was thrown out by Ken, and I thought this was great. We had a long conversation about this. So we've been hearing these odd rumors, right, about Apple doing a 7-inch iPad. What if that was purely an educational product? And it was a lower price point, and it was targeted at schools for this exact reason.
Sort of like the eMac.
Exactly. eMate.
But
I mean, eMate, yeah.
So, or the eMate. You know, it's like the return of the eMate is what I said.
But this would still require developers who want to develop for this device, unless they change the, unless the pixel density, the ultimate resolution is the same. You know what I mean? If they up the density, it's the same resolution on this smaller iPad.
But why can't it be a whole specialized thing that's even wholly separate?
Strictly sold to schools?
Yeah. To EDU.
Well, other than the fact that every rumor we've heard regarding this media event has said no hardware announcement.
Right. And I don't think it is. This is a wild hair idea that's thrown out there, but it gets interesting when you start to think about it. So,
but it's still expensive.
Do I think the announcement's going to have anything to do with hardware? No, I think it's going to be all about the textbooks, and it's going to be about the full-size iPad. But to answer your question about, well, what about the fact that iPads cost so much?
Yeah, but they still cost a lot, and they still get stolen.
You know, I had problems with textbooks getting stolen in high school and in college.
Yeah, but there's a difference between a textbook and a friggin' iPad, dude.
Yeah, but an iPad has Find My iPad.
Yeah.
That's true, but...
And my programmable calculators in high school and college did not have that.
Kids carry around laptops. Don't get me wrong. I understand that.
So
I'm just saying that's one... That's
and the other thing is if every kid has one, what's the motivation for stealing it?
Well, I'm not saying just kids. I'm saying people outside of it. Outside of the circle of people who have,
they get lost, and
that's all I'm saying.
You can't let that hold the.
I agree. I completely
agree. The reins
of
process or what or progress? Excuse me.
I totally agree.
Rein back progress.
Okay, and is there some place that has data about how many school districts have been issuing MacBooks to students, and how many of those have been stolen?
Well, and not only that, on the cost thing. So, you know, even if it was iPad 2s, right? There have been whole districts that have been getting MacBooks. So, an iPad 2 is going to be less expensive than.
Oh yeah, and it MacBooks. Provides
so,
nearly all the same benefits as a MacBook, other than the ability to easily write a paper, and of course you get a Bluetooth keyboard, or you can even get the keyboard dock or whatever. And
for a lot of people, the on-screen keyboard actually will be perfectly fine for writing.
I think you're insane for thinking that.
Oh, I'm very insane. I have no doubt about that, because I can write full articles on my iPad.
Well, you're
on the on-screen keyboard.
Better man than I. I don't know. I think this morning I might have had some kind of a brain issue, but I was.
Are you already too old, Michael?
I was having trouble.
The young
with
kids
my
iPad. Are amazing with those thumb keyboards, man. So they pull up that split screen keyboard. I bet you there's some people.
I like doing that split screen. Let me tell you what. The only thing I think that Apple needs to do in terms of that split screen, and I think they should have done it from the beginning, is that splitting the keyboard should be. Independent of the orient or dependent on the orientation, rather. So if you're in portrait mode, for example, split that keyboard up, that doesn't affect your landscape. So maybe you type in landscape with the smart cover on and you're actually using two hands, but if you're in portrait mode, you're doing the thumb typing thing, or maybe the other way around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my only complaint is that I can't split the keyboard and keep it docked at the bottom of the screen. It has to be up
I don't use a split keyboard.
And I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I think it's just because that's the way it is right now, and I'm sure they're aware of that issue. And
I thought maybe it was because it's really not all that safe to hold it that low. It is kind of awkward.
That's my assumption.
It might slip out of your hands.
Probably, yeah. In portrait mode.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
It's kind of top heavy.
I've also kind of thought that some of the letters were in areas that I didn't expect. I thought on one side or the other that I wouldn't have expected them to be on. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I'll go for one of the letters with one hand and it's actually on the other side.
Yeah, but that's just a learning curve,
I guess. What type of advancements do you think we'll see with iPad textbooks? You know, of course, we'll be able to have great bookmarking, and you have the built-in dictionary, which is great. I mean, we get all the same benefits that we get with iBooks on the iPad, of course. Being able to search Wikipedia right there, bring up more information. Obviously, linking with the internet sources is great. You think we'll see like probably video, little clips, video clips in textbooks?
Yeah, I think the number one benefit for schools, and again, I have to give credit to Ken because he brought this up in that conversation we had, was that you know, so many schools spend a big chunk of their budget, say, getting a new history book. So say they got it this year, right? It's going to cover up through a certain amount of history. But next year, they're not going to get updated textbooks. The year after that, they're not going to get updated textbooks. It could be 5 or 6 years before they have the budget to update those textbooks. So you have them out of date. When they're digital, they could just push new updates.
So you're saying actual, like, updates to the textbooks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe even like Delta style updates too.
Exactly. Yeah. As new information becomes available, if Apple gives the tools to the publishers to make it easy enough, why not? I mean, you can correct errors. You can, as facts change, specifically in areas of science and new information comes out, you can make those corrections practically on the fly and push them right out to all the devices.
That makes lot of sense with textbooks. More than regular books, because once a book is out there, it's usually never it doesn't really need any updates. But with actual textbooks, that's crazy awesome. It's one of those things that if it comes out, and I think it will, now that I'm hearing about it, you're going to think, oh well, of course it would be that way,
right?
Adam, you hit on what I think is the key point in making the whole textbook thing viable. If Apple gives developers and publishers the tools to do this easily, and right now the tools that Apple has available are glaringly painful.
Yes.
And so if you're going to make an EPUB and you want to distribute it across multiple platforms with as much interactivity as you can possibly get, you actually can't do that. You have to decide which of the ebook platforms you're going to publish for, and then take care of the nuances for that one platform. And there's a lot of hand coding that's involved if you want to have your EPUB correct. So until someone releases an EPUB tool, publishing tool, that works easily and quickly and reliably, there's no way you can do this. And I don't care if you're working in InDesign, Quark Express, if you're hand coding your EPUBs, there is not a good tool for doing that today.
Yeah. The other thing that's in this section of the book is that Jobs had this vision that the textbooks would be free on the iPad.
And that would obviously be a hard pill to swallow for the textbook manufacturers, because they're used to getting so much money for the new editions that they put out, often with very few changes in them.
Yeah. It doesn't go into any kind of detail, I don't think, on how that would be subsidized or how that would be possible. But
right.
I mean, if that's the kind of thing that Apple can pull off, though, I mean, that is one of those things that they like to do, this revolutionary, game-changing thing. I mean, with education budgets and state budgets as bad as they are, I mean, that's a huge economic benefit. But where does the, you know, what, you're exactly right. What happens with the publishers, or how does that get get subsidized, and that's really not answered. So, and I don't even know how you do that
with textbooks. Obviously, there's a lot of overhead with having to print them and distribute them. There'd certainly be a real cost savings there. However, I don't think we've really seen that type of cost savings trickle down to the customer with iBooks or eBooks in general. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. Or does it? Am I missing something on that?
It doesn't make sense.
Okay. Do you think that Apple would be pushing for something like that?
Well, okay, so here's the deal. What publishers are doing is the same thing that the entertainment industry has done, where they have applied their old-style accounting system to a completely new medium, and it doesn't fit. So, if you look at what you pay for a CD, and then you look at what you're going to pay for the digital download of that CD. Well, that's redundant. Of course it's a digital download. Right. If you look at what it costs to download the songs, it's typically pretty close to the same cost, even though it doesn't cost nearly as much for the digital versions. And that's exactly what the publishing industry is doing. They're charging just as much for the digital versions of their books as they are for the print versions.
Yeah.
And,
I was going to say something stupid. I was going to say, I'm looking forward to analog downloads because that means we have replicators.
Yes.
So you're saying that with the advent of analog downloads, we automatically get replicators with them. And so that would mean that we start figuring out how to jailbreak the replicators and replicating all sorts of things?
Yes.
That's the dream, right?
That's the dream.
Yeah, I was just talking about how my fridge does a really good job of replicating water and ice, but really nothing else but that.
It's
I don't
true.
Understand. I don't understand. We just add another button for hamburgers or something and then...
Done.
Well, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah. Maybe condiments? Maybe some ketchup. We can add a ketchup button to that.
Adam nailed it. Bacon.
Bacon. Yeah, bacon replicator. That'll just solve the world's problems.
Yeah. As soon as the bacon replicator is available, instant world peace.
Aren't there things that can print food? Am I wrong?
No, there are things that can print on food.
Okay.
I don't know about things that can actually print food.
Gizmodo lied to me.
Maybe there are things that can print food.
I mean, you have to put the food ingredient in there. You take a liquefied bacon, and then you get bacon out of it.
Why not just start with bacon?
Yeah, just start with bacon and end with bacon.
It's going to save a lot of time and money.
Go no further. Yeah, why refry beans? Maybe fried beans are just as good.
Maybe no, they are.
Not until they're done. They're fried twice.
All right. Well.
So does that imply that the people that first started frying beans were impatient? So they didn't cook them long enough and they had to fry them again so they were cooked long enough?
I think they were forgetful and they just fried them again because they couldn't remember if they did it already.
They didn't have iPads this has to look to be up the recipes. See, I'm trying to bring it back to the show.
No, no, this is where I want to be now, talking about random food. what were we talking about?
Can you tell
about
we record close to dinner time?
Yeah.
Or for me, at least.
I was about to make a pizza. And then I remembered that we had to record. And by remembered, I mean I got a frantic text from Adam saying, aren't we recording tonight? Do you think, I guess going back to my question, do you think that part of Apple's desire to get textbooks on the iPad and have a reasonable price situation for schools to get this instead of using books, do you think that they're pushing for reduced prices in these textbooks because of the, I mean, the real fact.
Steve Jobs wants them to be free.
Well, I mean, of course Steve Jobs wants them to be free.
That's about the lowest price you can get.
But Steve Jobs also wanted the iPhone to work on Wi-Fi and we're, you know, using AT&T and Verizon. But realistically, in 2012... You think they're going to be reasonably cheaper? I think that's going to be the biggest selling point. You know, if I can, on my iPad, I can get a book that's, we'll say 50% or even just 25% cheaper than another book, and I get updates. Okay, now are there benefits to that, or is it going to be more of a situation where you're going to a school and maybe you pay a certain fee? On through the school, and you get to have that book for the semester, and it is an updated edition.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe it's the exactly that kind of thing.
Sure, and then
if it's an allocation.
Yeah, and if it's a textbook that you decide, oh, I really want to keep this one,
you pay a little more.
Then you pay a little more, and you get to keep it.
So, you know, that sounds great. That sounds really good because then you're only renting, and. And you're getting updated editions, and it makes sense. Because if you buy a textbook and you take the course, who cares if you get the updated version? Nobody goes back to their textbooks.
Right. And if they can bring the cost down through a rental system or whatever they're going to do, that's going to save so much money in high schools.
Oh, yeah. Everywhere. Absolutely. That'd be great.
And the schools are just so strapped for funding anyhow.
Yeah.
That would be a fantastic way to be able to help schools save some money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. All right. So, did you guys see that the Apple TV was hacked to run full screen iOS apps?
I saw that story. I didn't dive into it too much, so I'm curious to hear a little bit more about it. The number one thing that I had on my mind was, what do you control it with?
VNC right now.
It's more of a proof of concept right now.
Yeah, right now it's proof of concept. Of course, the Apple TV has what, the A5?
Mm-hmm.
Is it A5 or A4? I think it's A4. Apple TV.
Oh, I think you're right. I think the 4S, no, the iPad 2 is the first device with an A5.
Yeah. Yep. Apple TV, A4. Yep, it's the A4. Regardless, it still has an A4 in it, which is more than adequate to run iOS. So it was Stephen, how do you say his last name? Trotton Smith?
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
And the Mudkip, one of the a jailbreak guy. They hacked together iOS on there. Basically, what they had to do was make a custom, I believe the Mudkip wrote a custom Springboard.
Right.
And then that allowed them to run the native iOS apps full screen on Apple TV, which is really cool. Right now, and you can see a video of this on YouTube, and we'll put a link to the show in the show notes of it happening. It's a little bit slow, and that's because they're doing it with VNC. However, does the Apple TV have Bluetooth? I can't remember.
No.
Okay, it doesn't have Bluetooth, so that wouldn't be a way to control it. It does have USB.
I thought, wasn't there that rumor that it had the whole Bluetooth disabled?
See, that's what I'm thinking.
Thing?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it does, but okay. So
that was a rumor,
it would be better to say right now, the way the current Apple TV 2...
No, it does have Bluetooth.
It doesn't offer Bluetooth support.
It does have Bluetooth.
But it's not activated.
Correct,
yeah. You have to hack to use it.
So I'm guessing that part of, because currently it's not released, it's not available for regular people who have a who are willing to jailbreak their Apple TV to download it from Cydia or something like that. So it's still proof of concept. I think they're still working out the bugs. I think that they would probably like to get it to a point where they can actually use Bluetooth to control it because it is so slow using VNC.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it. I think the best way, because the way they have it right now, and I haven't really looked at the Springboard that they have available, but back in the Apple TV 1 days, when you were able to jailbreak that, there were some really cool add-ons where, and I'm not crazy in thinking that they've they already jailbroke. You could jailbreak the Apple TV too as well and run
right.
Certain applications on there, like from the, I guess the dream would be like the Apple TV one where you could just pull up whatever Safari, you could actually run Safari from the Apple TV, the standard Apple TV menu.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that was also a, did you have to, no, you could use USB. You could hook up a USB keyboard and mouse because it was running like right. Tiger on it, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, and then you could just pull up Safari and do whatever on there. Of course, it was like a freaking Celeron or something.
But yeah, you can get the season pass the Apple TV.
Which sucks, by the way.
Does it?
Yeah, that, whatever the, it was either season pass or the other thing. There might have been another thing on there. But whatever I put, I de-jailbroke my Apple TV because it was just, I couldn't even figure out how to get media on the thing. It was too hard. It was much easier with the standard Apple interface.
So you tried the ATV Flash FireCore thing?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really cool. I love that you can do that. I just think that developers need to put a little bit more time in actually making things that are useful for the Apple TV when the jailbreak does go out there. And I think that's probably the ultimate goal is to get a really simple jailbreak with the ability to add some hooks into the standard interface where you can just add under like the internet tab or have maybe an apps tab where you have Safari and maybe a feed reader and like weather and whatever else kind of things that developers would like to develop for it. And actually have a legitimate reason to put applications on the Apple TV. And I think that that might, if Apple isn't already working on it, and I'm guessing they probably are working on apps for the Apple TV, because it's probably not that big of a difference from doing iOS stuff. It's just a different strategy in terms of input, because you mm-hmm. only have the Apple TV remote, although it does have Bluetooth.
I just want somebody to fix the LED on my Apple TV.
Is it broken?
Yeah, it went out and it won't come back on.
I thought LEDs didn't break.
I don't know what happened to it. The Apple TV works perfectly fine. Everything's totally fine, but I can never tell when it's on or off because the light doesn't light up anymore.
That's sad. You should get it replaced.
So if anybody has a fix for that, I think it might be a trip to the Genius Bar. I've tried restoring it. I've tried rebooting it, doing all those things.
Just get it replaced.
Dead.
Yeah, I love my Apple TV.
Yeah,
though.
But I'm going to go in and they're going to go, $99, buy a new one.
No, they won't. They're going to be like, hey, you know what? You're Adam Christensen of the MacCast. Let me do you a solid.
I don't think they can do that anymore.
No, they can do that. They have that kind of discretion still.
No, they do not.
They do not have that power anymore, Michael. Sadly.
The rumor is Apple's going all retail on the retail.
Ugh. Well, I better get my iPhone replaced a few more times then.
Yeah, you better hop to it.
I think back when, and I might have talked
about
it.
You don't have Apple Care Plus, right?
No.
You don't have Apple Care Plus, forget it.
Well, okay, so back, I don't know if I told you guys about this, but back when I had the original iPhone, I think I had that thing replaced like, I think I counted 12 times.
I remember, we talked about that.
Yeah, good times, man.
I rebuilt my iPhone 3GS from the ground up.
Nice.
What do you mean?
So when I got my iPhone 4S, my wife got my old iPhone 4 because about 3 days before I got the 4S, she dropped the 3GS and it had completely shattered the screen.
Oh.
And before that, it had already been going out. There was something wrong with the mic where the mic would work sometimes and wouldn't work other times. And then the back case was kind of scratched up. So I ordered all those parts from Tech Restore and I basically had to take the thing all the way down to the guts. Took it completely apart and replaced all the parts. Cost about $60.
So you replaced
it's like
what?
A brand new phone.
The screen?
I replaced the screen and the most difficult part was actually the back case. You had to completely disassemble the entire device to put the back case on.
Yeah, that reminds me of having to of replacing the screen on the iPhone 4. I totally had to take it apart. That is not a fun thing to do, let me tell you.
And the mic speaker dock assembly. And basically, it was weird. The mic had kind of come disconnected. It wasn't like desoldered. It was like the microphone part had separated. There's a little plastic ring thing kind of around it. It had separated itself into like two pieces. Hmm. So that's why it would work sometimes, because if you could tip it back, or sometimes if you'd blow on the mic, I think it pushed it back, just nudged it back just enough so that the contacts would actually make a light contact.
That's kind of annoying.
Yeah, but it rebuilt the thing. It's beautiful now. It looks like it's brand new. And it was kind of fun.
Cool.
Yeah. So I would encourage people, you know, if you just like tinkering and kind of getting in there. I mean, it was already broken, so it was like, I'm not going to break it more. Might as well try and restore it to its former glory, and it worked out great.
Right.
Except I did this stupid thing where there was like a protector sheet on the inside of the LCD.
I texted about this.
And I'm like, it wasn't really obvious that it was there, and I didn't want to go just like peeling stuff off the inside of the digitizer. Because I'm like, I'm going to pull, you know, like the digitizer layer off and separate the two layers or something like that. It seemed like there was something there, but didn't look like you could grab it. So I was afraid to like peel it off. And I couldn't find any documentation or anything that said, hey, there's an inner, you know, protective sheet stuck on there. But
yeah,
I contacted Tech Restore and they sent me straight. They said, you dummy. No, they were really nice. they said, yeah, you got to take that off.
Oh, and so on the front of Jailbreaks, I forgot to mention the biggest news of like the last 2 weeks, I think, in my mind.
Is that you got to jailbreak your phone?
Yeah, untethered iOS 5.01 jailbreak. That means you don't have to reboot tethered. So there's been a jailbreak, of course, out for a while, but you had to, in order to reboot your phone, you'd have to hook up to your computer. Yeah.
So what's the catch?
The catch is you cannot have a 4S or an iPad 2.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Right.
But they say that's fast approaching. They've crossed a major hurdle to doing that. So they're thinking within another week there will be a 4S and an iPad 2 untethered jailbreak as well. But
the biggest news is you're running iOS 5 finally.
Yeah, that's the biggest news.
Welcome to the party.
Yeah, it's cool. I got this thing that I can pull down from the top. Do you guys know about that?
Oh, Michael, you're so cute.
Notification center.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
It's pretty neat. I get the weather. It's at the top. And you can swipe over.
Try swiping.
I know. I got
across
that.
The weather.
You get forecast.
You like that.
Yeah. What else you got? Ooh, the location-based reminders. Those are fun.
You know what I'm using more, and I didn't realize I'd probably use this feature, and I had to kind of force myself to remember that it was there, but it's really handy when you use it, is the whole double tap and get to the straight to the camera to take a picture.
That is so handy.
See,
the one thing that confuses people about that, though, is the security part of that. I've had a couple people ask me about the fact that You double tap that, you take a picture, and then it kind of shows you. It looks like it's showing you your camera roll, but you can only see the pictures that you took from the lock screen.
Session. Yeah.
So it looks like all your pictures are deleted. So I've had people who've like freaked out. They're like, oh, all my pictures are gone. No, just unlock the phone and they're all there.
Yeah. And if you take a couple photos and then go back and double tap later on, take a couple more photos, the first photos you took, you won't see.
Yeah, they're gone.
It's a per session camera roll view.
I have
which is the correct thing for security. Sorry.
Yeah, I have a shortcut with Activator that takes me to the camera, the one that I've been using for a while.
Oh well.
Yeah.
You're special.
Mm-hmm. I also like the so I have it set up so when I double press the home button, it shows me the now playing bar instead of the multitasking, because I use that like loads more. So that's a nice tip. If you use you should get Activator if you jailbreak. Activator is wonderful. It lets you set up all these little tweaky things, and you can actually get SB settings in your notification center. So all those things that you get with SB settings, like the Wi-Fi toggles and Bluetooth and all that stuff, you can actually have that in notification center now, which
Why do you want to clutter that all up? Notification center for me is already way too cluttered with junk.
You got rid of stocks though, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You can, and pro tip for that, go to settings, notifications, and there's the stocks widget. It says stocks widget. You can turn it off and it goes away. I think we've talked about that before, but that's a good thing to be reminded of. If you aren't aware of that, you can actually get rid of that thing.
The one thing I'm hoping they're going to add at some point is the ability to clear individual events within a section rather than having to clear them all, because sometimes there's things I want to leave in there.
Well, if you arrange it by...
I put the important stuff up top, but even still, it's like there'll be an email I would just want to remind myself about, you know, that I want to come back and check later, but I don't care about the 27 other ones.
Right.
You know? It'll get there. Did they hire... Yeah, we talked about this last time. They hired all those guys, those notification guys. So something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I take that as a good sign.
All right. So do you guys want to talk about your picks? You got a pick this week, Jeff?
Oh. I do.
Okay.
And I'm hoping it's something we haven't already covered. excuse me. My pick this week is Waitbot. Yeah,
I picked that a long time ago.
Are you sure you did? Because I might have, but go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, so Waitbot, assuming we picked it a really long time ago, there are some changes to it
now. Yeah, episode 49.
Yeah, so, okay, so, sorry about my cough. Okay, so Waitbot lets you keep track of your weight gain or weight loss, and you can... look at little charts and see what your progress is. And so it's a nice tool to just kind of stay on top of what your weight is.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do with it that you didn't used to be able to do.
You can stand on your iPhone and it weighs you?
Yes, Michael. Try it now.
Try it right now while you're talking? Okay. I'll let you know how it works out.
Okay. So if you're familiar with is it Y-Things? Is that the name of the company that makes scale?
Yep.
Okay, so that company makes a scale that has Wi-Fi built in, so it can tweet your weight, which I'm sure everyone wants to do. Excuse me. But it can also link to Waitbot, so you can hop on your scale, take your weight, and it automatically uploads that data right into Waitbot for you.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's
a real usage for that Y-Things scale.
Yeah. And you can also sign up for a free account through the Tapbot's website and get all of your Waitbot data backed up for you. So you have that spare copy, and I believe you can download it so that excuse me, so you can put it in a spreadsheet if you want.
Ooh, cool. Well, that's awesome. And is it still $1.99?
I believe so.
Yep. Very cool app. I used it for a long time back when I was checking my weight, and now I stopped caring. But it's, if you're doing that, it's my favorite for that.
I'm really liking it.
Yep. So, and of course, it's by the wonderful Tapbots.
And they make really nice apps.
Mm-hmm, very nice apps. Adam, what is your pick this week?
I am going to pick Aqueduct. Aqueduct. And it's a little puzzler game that is pretty simple. It's, you have a faucet and you have a drain, and then you have a bunch of different pipe pieces. And it kind of works like those slider puzzles to a certain degree, where you have to slide...
Yeah.
The different elements around and then get them into a certain position. And the simple concept is to get the water to the drains. And as the levels go up, you'll get more and more drains and different types of pieces and connectors. And so you'll have T connectors, and you got to make sure that, you know, everything is hooked up and there's no leaks and stuff like that. And I just got this over the holidays and I've been playing it a little bit, and it's just fun. It's got cool kind of sketch style graphics, so it's got a really neat look to it, and very simple but very fun and addicting.
Cool. Yeah,
so and you looks like little puzzler games. I like these little casual puzzle style games. So,
yeah, it looks like it's got like outstanding ratings on iTunes too.
Yeah, my brother-in-law told me about it over the holidays. It's like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, $2.99,
and it's universal, which I always love. That's always a bonus nice. In my mind.
Oh yeah, totally.
So, iPad, iPhone, one price.
Awesome. All right, so my pick this week is actually a request for a pick because I've been looking for a good app. I've been using Simple Note for a long time, and I still very much love Simple Note. And my favorite thing about Simple Note is the fact that it's ubiquitous sync. It's like magic sync. So you type something
up. It's magic.
Yeah, love it. You type something on your iPhone, and you can bring it up on your iPad, and it magically syncs that over, and you can type back and forth, and it syncs back and forth very easily, bring it up on your computer. The great thing about it for me is that it's automatic syncing, and you can get at it from iPhone, iPad, or computer very easily. However, so I use that for notes and random things. However, I've been wanting to keep more of a formal journal. Not so much for like every day, but for significant things that I want to just record for myself and look at later on. And I've been using Simple Note for that, but it's not great for that because while you can assign tags to certain things, you can't exclude tags from certain lists. So I can't say, this is my journal tag, and so show me everything that's not my journal tag. You can either select everything or specific tags. And so that means that Simple Note isn't the greatest thing for me. So what I need, and this is an action item to all the listeners out there, is an app that allows me to, that's more like for journaling and has a really good sync ability. So I can get at it from my iPhone or my iPad, and ideally on my computer too. But if it's just iPhone and iPad syncing and it's automatic, because I looked at Momento, the only thing about Momento is that it doesn't, you have to manually back it up, and it's kind of like a backup restore type deal.
That was the one I was going to ask you about, because I think I got that as a free app of the day or week or whatever from Starbucks.
I have that too, but it's just, it does a auto, it's not a sync, it's more of a backup.
That's a bummer. It's a good looking app.
Yeah. Otherwise, that's what I was looking at. So, you know, of course, bonus points if it looks nice, but functionality is key.
Key.
Yeah. So I would love that very much.
So wait, let me get this straight. Your pick of the week is asking people to help you find what you want to use as your pick of the week.
Yep.
Wow.
Okay. Brilliant.
Yeah, I took it and I turned it.
Kind of bummed I didn't think of that sooner.
Yeah. I don't know why. It seems
you don't
like
have any apps that you're looking for, Jeff? You haven't found the perfect solution for yet?
I'm still on the hunt for the perfect text editor for my iPad. And
Pages isn't doing it for you?
Well, Pages, to me, that's a document editor. I'm talking like a regular text editor.
Oh, gotcha.
And I really do like Pages on the iPad.
Adam had a really good pick like a couple months ago that did like HTML, CSS, PHP, and all that stuff. Right, Adam?
Yeah, I have a couple of those apps. I have Textastic is my favorite.
I really like Textastic.
And then I also have Gusto, which is pretty good.
Yeah, Gusto.
I probably need to go back and revisit Gusto again. It's been a while.
All right, I don't have Gusto. What I have installed right now, Textastic, Plain Text, and IA Writer.
Yeah, Gusto was a bit pricey. I think it was $10 for kind of what it does. And I hate saying that because I think that's still really cheap.
Yeah, me too.
In reality.
But it's hard because of the way that the App Store is set up that you have, like you're all in on everything that you get. You can't return it.
I don't even mind that. I mean, I just wish
no
that
trial.
We didn't think about iOS software as this commodity kind of throwaway stuff.
Well, that's
because
why
a lot of it's really good. And I think my iPad's cluttered with apps because apps are so cheap. And if I was forced to be a little bit more selective and pay more and support the developers a little bit better, the whole ecosystem might be better for it.
I think that would also inspire developers to put a little bit more time in their stuff so it was worth buying.
Exactly.
Because there's just so much stuff. Yes. If you look at the, there's a feed that you can look at of the new apps on the App Store.
Mm-hmm.
It has a depressing feed.
Well, this was my fear when we first heard about apps. I think I said it, and I still believe it, that iOS is the Windows of the Apple world when it comes to software.
And I think it's just
a lot of, you have tons of apps and tons of choice, but most of it's crap.
Yeah. I like to say, generally when I'm talking to people about this, I say either 95 to 99% of stuff in the App Store is crap.
Because it's so, and you know, benefit to Apple, it's the thing that they never really cracked, I think, on the desktop side, which is it's very easy to develop it for iOS. I mean, it really is. And it's easy to get your app out there. It's easy to get it distributed. It's easy to sell it. And that's why you have this ecosystem. And it's great. We benefit from it in terms of volume, but there's an ugly side to it too, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Windows people know it all too well because they had to wade through. Yeah, they had tons of choice, but they had to wade through a lot of garbage, and we're getting to experience that now, I think, with iOS.
Yep. Also, Jeff, on the text editor side of things, it was either Jeff or Adam that was talking about getting tabs in Pages on iPad. Was that you, or was it Jeff or Adam?
Probably Jeff.
I remember... We had a discussion about tabs.
Yeah.
And there was one type of tab we could do, but there was another type of tab that you wanted to
do, but
we couldn't.
That was me. Yeah, I had a listener who it had to do with there used to be a tab key on the keyboard.
Oh.
Like on the menu bar.
Oh, okay.
There was an actual tab key so you could insert a tab, and that's gone.
Yeah, there's George Larson emailed a little while ago saying that if you set your cursor to where you want the tab and you tap on the info button, you know what I'm talking about, in the, I think it's upper right,
mm-hmm,
and choose list.
This is exactly the problem though.
Oh, the fact that it's so buried.
It used to be one click.
And now it's like five.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
To do a very common thing, especially if you're working on a document with a table or something.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
where
it's
you want.
Crazy. That's basically the only thing I do in text edit is like make lists. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So aren't you using OptiOutliner?
But if you look at Pages, what was the rationale for taking that off of the toolbar? There really isn't. The space is still there. It's not like they needed the space. It just makes the app less useful.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the other thing I was going to say on this pick thing, and I almost forgot, and I can't, of course, check because I already own this app, but I think I had heard that one of our picks, Snapseed from Nick Software, the photo editing app,
mm-hmm,
I believe is now free or was free. It might be permanently free. They had done a couple promos.
It's $5
where it was
bucks.
Free. It still is. Oh, it was free last week or something like that.
I mean, I have it. You know, I think I probably bought it when it was free. That's probably why I have it.
It's an awesome app. It's worth every penny. It's another one of those that, you know, it's like
a really nice app.
Yeah. It should be priced higher, but
yeah.
So get it regardless. Sorry.
Okay.
I thought somebody had told me it was free.
I think that's why I got it, because I was told that it was free. Or it went on sale and I saw it or something. I don't remember. But yeah, all right. So there it is.
I'll try to be on the ball next time.
Yeah. Listener feedback, you can send in, you can call us, 206-642-6667. That's the phone number. Pick up the phone and just dial away, leave a message. Or you can leave an audio comment by emailing feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. And you can do that on your iPhone or your iPod Touch and just email off a voice memo. that works great for me. It's the best way, actually, if you want to do audio. You can also email, just a plain email, feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. If you have any suggestions for me on my journaling quest, or any comments or questions or anything else like that. Of course, you can find the iPhone picks in the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. And advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet's at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com. At Jay Gamet, and Zazzle.com is Zazzle.com/Jay Gamet is his Zazzle store, where you can get wonderful things created by him, in addition to the We Have Communicators mug. Thanks for being here, Jeff. As always.
And thanks for having me, as always.
Adam Christensen's at the Matcast, Matcast.com. He's at Matcast on Twitter. Member.matcast.com is the premium member version of the Matcast, where you can find tons of useful information.
Yeah, I think we just cracked, I'm trying to see, 109 episodes.
Wow.
Coming up on 110.
Nice.
How do you find the time? Do you sleep? I've recently come to the conclusion.
No, not too much.
It's not necessary.
Did I talk about the QuickTime editing show? That one was a lot of fun. You know, QuickTime 10 has some really cool like editing features.
Oh yeah,
that I think a lot of people don't know about, and it can do way more than I thought it could. You know, I thought it could just do the trim thing, but you can actually do some real work with it if you don't want to have to crack open iMovie or something like that, just to do quick stuff. I mean, simple, but I covered that in a recent episode. So
you know, every time
people are wondering the kind of content you would get.
Yeah, every time you talk about stuff on the member version of the Matcast, I'm thinking, why do I not listen to that like all the time? Everything you talk about, I just want to hear more about.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. The YouTube uploading from QuickTime 10, does that work for you? Because it never works for me.
That broke recently when I was actually working on this episode. I might even mentioned it in there. YouTube changed their whole design. Actually, as I was recording that show, I think they redid the whole design layout thing, and it was broken. So I was kind of chalking it up to that and hoping that it was going to be fixed relatively soon.
It's basically never, ever worked for me.
Yeah, I use Vimeo. I'm kind of done with YouTube, and Apple's integrating Vimeo everywhere. So Vimeo is a better service, better quality.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
I like the new YouTube layout. I think honestly, of all the big companies doing new layouts and stuff like that.
Yeah, but they're all about that M3. What is that stupid video codec that YouTube wants everybody to use? Google.
Oh yeah, I can't remember, but yeah,
they don't want to use H.264. They want to use whatever stupid thing they have.
It's WebM.
WebM, that's it.
That's it.
Yeah. You have to use Opera. That's funny.
Chrome.
Oh, Chrome, yeah. Yeah, I'll just use Chrome. Not.
Hey, Chrome is not, I mean, Chrome is not bad, but I mean, it's just like, it's the classic thing, like, you have a really great technology like H.264, and because Apple has it, everybody just wants to not use it. Not because it's not good, just because it's Apple's and we can't control it or we don't own it or whatever. You know.
What's the current version of Chrome? Do you know?
Oh, who knows?
57, because they update it every week.
I was going to guess 78.
Oh, they update it every week? The big issue I have with Chrome is that, like, you really can't tweak things. There really aren't a lot of things to change, like the way that tabs work, for example. Because I use tabs in a way that I guess most people don't, for some reason. Like when I do a command click on a link and I want to get a new tab, I actually want to switch to it. I'm not crazy in wanting to do that, am I?
I don't know.
No? Yeah,
I don't know. I know I use Safari, and Safari seems to be getting worse and worse, unfortunately.
Oh yeah, I stopped updating Safari too. Oh,
I am so tired of Safari.
I'm glad you guys are saying that, because I've considered updating to 5.1 or whatever. I'm at 5.05. I'm using Snow Leopard. I'm using Safari 5.05. I'm very happy where I am.
That's why you're a much happier person than I am.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Have we droned on enough at the end of the show?
We have. Yep.
Did you plug yourself? I can't even remember.
Well, I do. We have communicators. You're already listening to that. So good job.
Lil Reviews.
Yeah, I do. At Lil Reviews, L-I-L Reviews. And I haven't put a lot there, but I did put a beer review recently.
Nice.
Yep. So check it out. Right. That's it for this time. We'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
How are we going to communicate this? A stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do?